Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Meaningful Conversations, the radio show powered by RD Solutions Marketing Firm. I'm your host, Erica Harrison, and I want to say thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to tune into tonight's broadcast. As you all know, these conversations are meant to uplift, empower, motivate, and encourage you to go from potential to purpose. So for each show, we interview business professionals in various industries to share their journey to success. And our mission is to empower world leaders and business professionals in the marketplace. Make sure you like, comment, and share tonight's show. So, guys, I'm so excited. I know I have been gone for a minute, but I am back, and we're in full swing. And just to kick off, as we're ending the month of September, I have a wonderful guest on tonight, and I have the opportunity to interview Dr. Carrie O'Graham, as we are going to discuss embracing life with an unassuming approach. This is definitely an episode that you do not want to miss. Make sure that you use the chat box function that is available for anyone to use to ask any questions or to make any comments. Without further ado, let's go ahead and get into a little bit about Dr. Carrie O'Graham. So Dr. Graham is the owner of Carrie O'Graham Learning and Solutions. Dr. Graham helps businesses improve learning outcomes by strategically integrating adult learning best practices. A published author, researcher, and conference presenter with 25 years plus of experience in learning, instructional design, and leadership development across industries, Dr. Graham has a reputation of understanding stated and unstated problems, then asking critical questions to help uncover clear and insightful solutions. Not believing in the one-size-fits-all approach, she customizes solutions to support unique individual and organizational learning needs. So I'm so excited to have her on tonight. But guys, I definitely want to give a shout out to some of the A&T students that is tuning in. I just want to shout you out, RD Solutions. Once they congratulate some of the students that have already graduated that will be tuning in tonight, we want to give a shout out to Don, Danica, Dion, and Kelly for graduating and that are enrolled in the adult education program that will be tuning in. Again, we want to give you a shout out. Dr. Graham should be calling in soon, but make sure that you go ahead and you follow us on social media, guys. And if you want to be on Meaningful Conversations radio show, you know what to do. Email us at rdsolutionsmarketingfirm.com. And in the title, go ahead and put in the radio show opportunity, and we or someone in the staff will reach out to you to go ahead and set up an interview. So without further ado, we're going to have Dr. Graham come on the line, and we're going to get this show started on tonight. Again, make sure you use the chat box function that is available for you to use. Welcome to the show, Dr. Graham.
Thank you, Erica. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule. I know you are busy to have this interview on tonight. I do not take it lightly.
Oh, I appreciate that. It's an absolute delight, and I'm honored to have a conversation with you and to hopefully share some helpful insights to your audience.
Yes. So I am ready to go ahead and get started. So I've read your background and, you know, some of your expertise and what you are known for. But before I start any interview, you know, people oftentimes see the ending result. And I want to kind of go back before you even became a doctor. You know, tell us a little bit about your childhood growing up. What was your aspirations? Did you want to be a doctor, or what was your dream when you were young growing up?
That, I can't, I'm a little bit tongue-tied right now because I'm actually, this afternoon, I have been working on a that I'm giving tomorrow. And I literally take a stroll down memory lane and talk about what my beginnings were. But there was definitely a little Carrie out there, and who was incredibly shy and not very confident. And so to be a doctor was not in my ambitions. Neither was business ownership. I wanted to be an attorney, but the funny part is I wanted to be an attorney that traveled the world. And
wow.
And funny thing is when I was younger, I didn't really like to read. And I had my best friend at the time said, Carrie, you don't even like to argue. So how can you be an attorney? And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess that's a good point.
That is so good because, you know, I think oftentimes we as people have the perception when we're on the outside of looking in and looking at it in the visual that our psyche automatically assumes that the person and what they're doing currently was something that they always wanted to do. And sometimes that's mm-hmm. not the case. So I always love to start the interview off by that. So, you know, we talked about you, your business, Carrie O'Graham Learning and Solutions, and I want to talk about this because, you know, what you do is definitely needed in the marketplace. What gap did you see when it came to, you know, businesses and entrepreneurs that you felt that you needed to create a business that is really helping them to leverage the learning outcomes? Opportunities and just having that leadership and structure. What did you see? What gap did you see in the marketplace?
It was huge. I'll just say. So my early beginnings out of college, I ended up studying sports medicine, and so as a healthcare provider, I would go to these conferences for continuing education. And early on, they were great. I was learning a lot. But as I started to progress in my career and became more seasoned, I found that the conferences were not meeting my learning needs. And so, you know, sadly, I became increasingly frustrated because I'm spending time away from my family, money, and I'm not walking away with anything that's helpful. Or applicable, I should say. And then when I became a university professor, I had a really stark experience. I remember I worked for a state institution, and as a state employee, we were all required to attend a sexual harassment training. And I'm sitting in this huge arena, auditorium with people from all divisions of the university for this sexual harassment training that the university had invested in. And I look around and there are people sleeping, talking, playing games on their phones. And all of this was happening while the university was in a very public legal battle on sexual harassment. And so my years in healthcare, taking continuing education, you know, units year after year for over 20 years, and then sitting through that session gave confirmation to what I had been feeling for decades, is that there's a mismatch. This university has spent so many thousands in this one program around sexual harassment, yet they're also spending millions legally on a sexual harassment case. There's clearly a mismatch. And that's what did it for me. Honestly, that is what did it for me. It was a growing, my current position or current place in my career grew out of years of frustration, And then I happened to see a stark reality, and then things started to fall into place. And so, you know, I was able to pursue a doctorate degree in adult learning with a focus on workplace learning and mentoring. And it has really been a great chapter in my life.
Wow. Well, that's, you know, that's so amazing, because just amongst, you know, some of the people that I have in my, you know, network, you know, sometimes we have these conversations where oftentimes people complain about what they see, right? And they don't really take the steps to do anything to make any changes. And we know some changes are not going to happen overnight, but I often find more people complain about different things that they see, but they don't have the strength, or they don't have the courage, should I say, or they probably don't even care. You have some people that just like to talk, right, but they don't like to put any plan into action about what they're seeing. So I just want to commend you for seeing a need and seeing a gap and being the one to provide a solution. Now, in that, I want to talk about some of the hardships that you had to overcome.
Erica, I hate to interrupt you, but I don't, thank you so much for that compliment. But full transparency, I actually was one of those people that complained, right? So I would go to the conference every year. I'd, you know, connect with my graduate school friends and my professional colleagues. And I'm like, oh, this stinks. I can't, like, I could have stayed home, or I could have went on vacation. And it really was, I would simply say, it was the grace of God that I had the opportunity to pursue a doctorate degree in adult learning and then be able to start my business. Because you're right, people find themselves in situations where they are unhappy or frustrated, and they simply complain. And if I'm being honest with myself, I was that person. But hearing you say that has prompted me to look back and say, you know, I didn't have an impact on that particular organization, but out of my frustration with that organization, I'm doing work that helps other people. So I wanted to be honest with you and myself.
I thank you for your transparency, and I think we all as people have a tendency of, you know, complaining or stating what we see. We have a right, but even though you seem, it just didn't stop there for you. As you matured and as you cultivated, you know, and you developed into, you know, different parts of yourself, you still went on to solve a need and to help and be a part of the bigger picture. And I thank you for that, because, again, so many people don't do that. So I wanted to talk about, you know, you finally getting your doctorate, you know, degree in pursuing adult learning. What was some of the challenges that you first, before we even say challenges, was your perception of what you were going to get yourself into or about to embrace, embark upon? Was that the actual reality that you had already imagined how things would be, or was it kind of like a completely different reality?
It was, you know, the more our conversation is moving along, I'm reminded that a lot of the things in my career have been outside of my doing. So I was let go, actually. I was laid off from that institution, and I recognize I need a doctorate degree if I want to continue to do this level of work. I didn't know what I was going to, at the time, I didn't realize what I was going to get the degree in. I didn't see another option. And that's the reality of it. And so I ended up exploring some programs within my institution, or within that institution, and I settled on this. It was not my first choice, I will be honest. I was looking at another program, and I had a very kind older white gentleman who I knew, but I didn't know well. And he emailed me and said, hey, Carrie, I'd like to grab a cup of coffee with you. You know, I'm always up for a conversation with people. And I went and he said, and again, we didn't really know each other. And he said, I hear you're looking at doctoral programs. I don't think the program that you are looking at is really the best fit for you. I think you would like and do better in this other program. And to this day, every year I consistently send him a thank you or whenever I hit significant milestones, because I know, you know, it would have been very easy for me to travel down one path that really was not meant for me. So, you know, I consistently thank God that this gentleman, for whatever reason, heard something about me and sought me out and wanted to offer some unsolicited advice that was actually the best advice for me. So I say all that to say I really didn't have an expectation. Now, when I got my doctorate degree, I graduated from my master's program in 96, and I went back to school to get this doctorate degree in 2010. That's a lot of time. Yeah, that's a lot of time to be out of school, and particularly for someone who wasn't a strong student to begin with. So I had an amazing advisor, and I took one, you know, at first I took one class and did the best that I could, and it was, you know, it met their mark. And then I was able to enroll full time, and for a doctorate student working full time, being a full-time student meant you were taking two classes, right? So there was some trepidation on my part about working a full 8-hour day and then going to sit through a class, a 3-hour class. And what I found was, in the midst of working in a very toxic environment, it became my reprieve. And so I was with like-minded people. They were not like me, because I was, in fact, the only Black person in the class or in the entire program at that time. But we were like-minded. We were all full-time parents, spouses, grandparents. Wow. Healthcare, like taking care of our parents, we were all having real adult life experiences, and yet sitting through the same class and learning, and it became a great part of my life chapter, is having those experiences and those conversations with people that I otherwise would not have had the opportunity to meet. So it was, I had no prior conceived notions of what I was getting myself into.
Yes. Well, I thank you for that, because, you know, sometimes, you know, the imagination is powerful, and I'm not, you know, making any jokes, but, you know, sometimes we can think about how something is going to be and it turns out to be a different way. But I love how you said that it kind of was like God placing someone there in your path, in your midst, that you didn't really, you know like that, but he spoke and he gave you wisdom, you know, and what he's seen, and you actually went along. And I think it's so important that on your path in life, in, you know, on your journey to entrepreneurship or whatever it is that you're wanting to do in the marketplace, and you don't necessarily have to be an entrepreneur, but holding a key leadership position, that sometimes you will come across people that are not like friends, right? Kind of complete strangers that you don't know. You don't have their number. You never went out, you know, nothing like that. And they're kind of, they're like a bridge to connect you. And that's how God works, in my personal opinion, and that's how life works. But we have to be careful and have the wisdom to discern the opportunities and doors that are being given to us. I love that you touched on that. So let's fast forward a little bit. with COVID and everything that is going on, you know, there has been another pivot, right, in various industries. In your opinion, what have you seen the most? Have we retracted back, or are we moving forward? Is it becoming more complacent when it comes to the adult learning and the sphere of influence that you're in? Has it been a halt? Kind of give us an update. What's going on in your observation?
Yeah, that's such a great question. I believe, so I'll say this. In 2020, so with the shutdowns of COVID, I was yet again laid off because, not even because of COVID, but because they were downsizing my program and department, and so things kind of came together at the same time. And when I entered the marketplace of online learning, course creation, what I found was everyone was doing all the things, right? We are in this global shutdown. People are working remotely. People are having to learn how to do things differently. So prior to the global shutdowns, I don't believe that there was a widespread true commitment to adult learning in the workplace. I'll say that, in the workplace, right? So there was, let's do some trendy type things that are out there, and we'll, you know, it is what it is. With the onset of the shutdowns, there was a sense of urgency that companies and organizations were really trying to get it figured out. They were trying to make sense of how do we teach people the information and the skills that they need to do their work under these new virtual circumstances. And so with that, there was, in fact, an uptick in commitment to adult learning, attempts to get it right, do better, so on and so forth. We are now 2 years past that point. And like many things, I would argue that there's been a sense of regression, so to speak, right? So it's, you know, organizations have gotten through the disruption. They've gotten through the uncomfortableness of getting people doing things online, learning and development online. And that's where I would say many have stopped, right? So whatever it was that they did under difficult circumstances, they're still doing that. There aren't very many organizations that I can see from an industry perspective that are saying, all right, that's what we did to get through the pandemic and the shutdowns. Let's make improvements. It's, we're still going to behave and do the work as if, you know, like we're going to still use the same skill set that we were using 2 years ago under unprecedented circumstances. And given that, I'm hopeful. I've been involved in a number of conversations with people in the learning and development industry who are working to get it right, but those people are few. You know, they're few. What I'm seeing is that there isn't a wide effort being made to really make deep-rooted, deep-seated change as it relates. I attribute it to, not attribute it, but I liken it to, you know, the unfortunate death of my Black brothers and sisters 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And And I've intentionally chosen not to say names because I don't want to leave anyone out. There are too many to leave
right.
out, so I don't want to do that. But what you found, you know, with that, with those unfortunate deaths and the uproar, you know, national uproar, companies made very public statements that we have a diversity and inclusion mission now, and we've hired, you know, someone as our chief diversity officer. And I could see it coming back then, but if you look at it, those companies, many, 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 many of those companies are not practicing the thing that they said they were committed to,
mm-hmm.
right? They may have hired someone and put someone in that position, but the person doesn't have the power and or authority to make change throughout the organization.
Right.
And I use that as an example because it's similar. You know, organizations are saying we commit to supporting our employees and such. 2 years, maybe, you know, 2 years ago they did to the best of their ability, but we're beyond that. And what progress have you made?
Yeah. Oh, that was so, everything you said, can I just say you really hit it on the head, and I know for lack of better words, but you talked about so many different things, and I just want to agree with you that I think the pandemic really exposed a lot of things that were, I'm not going to necessarily say it was hidden. It was known, mm-hmm. but it was furthermore revealed what was
yes.
going on behind the scenes, mm-hmm. and people began to see mm-hmm. and advocate openly about their opinion and what they felt was needed. And it's
yeah.
funny that you say that. You know, it's like a smoke screen, like a smoke and mirror that people will say
mm-hmm.
certain things to make sure that they're still relevant in business, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
many different
yeah.
things that people do. So the spotlight won't be looked at them, that they're on trend with everybody else. How would it look with our counterparts wanting to implement more diversity and we're not, you know, how would that look? What kind
yeah.
of, it's just so much that goes into that. But I
mm-hmm.
agree with you that it's unfortunate that, and this isn't for any sob story, and I just want to say this to those that are listening, that are entrepreneurs, those that are innovators, those that want to make changes, that oftentimes it's hard for you to make changes because you're dealing with so much resistance, and
mm-hmm.
people
mm-hmm.
don't, people want to stay confined. People say they want
mm-hmm.
innovation, but they really don't. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But the
mm-hmm.
word innovation
mm-hmm.
sounds cute. It sounds nice, right? But the
it's
moment
sexy.
You begin to
mm-hmm.
innovate, you get resistance.
Mm-hmm.
They're not willing. They still want to hold on to what is normal, what's been the norm for them, not knowing that, like you said, you work with various industries, Dr. you know, Graham. So
mm-hmm.
you know that these things that people are wanting to hold on to, like, it's going to get to a point they're going to have to, like, it's not even going to be an option, or else you're not really going to be relevant, or, you know,
yeah.
you're going to miss
yeah.
out on opportunities. Yeah.
Yeah. You, Erica, you're right, because there, you know, I have people reaching out to me to say, Dr. Graham, I'd like to work with you. I want to hire you. And I have found that at times I'll use this one very specific example that is crystal clear in my mind. These individuals approached me about a program that they wanted to offer and start their business around. And I could totally get on board with them and wanted to support them. And I listened to what they were saying, and I'm I was able to see all the ways in which I could help them and support their work. And I didn't get verbal resistance, but, you know, the initial response was, oh my goodness, this is great. I really do want to work with you. I can see the value that you bring. And, you know, later conversations were, you know, we are going to focus on our branding. Okay, well, what does that, you know, and I'm not going to dictate how or attempt to dictate how someone runs their business. And I said, okay, well, I want to be supportive of that. What specifically of your branding do you want, you know, are you going to work on? And if I know someone, I will make the recommendations, blah, blah, blah. Well, we're going to look for a photographer to take our pictures, and we're going to work on our logos and our colors. And I thought, So, like, they were wanting to start in a place that was comfortable for them and not in a place where the work was going to be dirty and challenging. And you know, your point is well taken that oftentimes when we make change or when we're attempting to be innovative or to change beliefs and behaviors, it's not easy at the beginning. It is hard. It can uncover some things that you'd rather kind of like jam deep down or shut in a closet. But the reality is, you know, to get a good outcome, you have to do the dirty work. You have to dig deep. It's just like these houses that they're building down the street from me. You know, when it was a beautiful wooded area, and then they started digging it up, and there's red clay all over the place. And I would go on my walks, and I think, this is so ugly, and oh, I can't stand it. And then I went on my walk this morning, and I was like, man, these houses are beautiful. The sidewalk is nice and clean. Like, I can't wait until families move in so that I can, you know, interact with them on my walks. This is the same thing. When we are attempting to do something big, complex, make a statement, initiate significant and meaningful change, it is not easy and it is not pretty.
Yeah.
But the question is, in that case, are you willing to do it? Are you willing to do it? And in some cases, you may have to do it publicly.
Wow. Oh, that is so good. And I want to piggyback off of what you just said. We're left with a decision that we have to make. And all, you know, some of these decisions are not always done privately. And you have to use your voice. Yep. And how many of us truthfully are going to use our voice to advocate, to make a stand, knowing that when you do that, the type of outcome it can result into, or the backlash, or the comments, or the feedback that you get. And this is so good because this is really like a self-evaluation right now moment where I know we idolize as people our positions and being around certain people, but we're observing things. If you're a leader, and I'm not just talking about in the workplace, I'm talking about just naturally a leader. When you're around certain atmospheres, different places, and you see things, as a leader, it bothers you. As a leader, you think about it. You go back and forth, and then you are faced with the what you just said, that moment where it's like, so what am I going to do about it? What am I going to say? Am I not going to say nothing? Am I just going to stand behind the sidelines? What is it that I'm going to do? So in that instance, Dr. Carey, what wisdom would you give our listeners when it comes to observing certain things that they don't think is ethical or morally correct, what approach should they take? What's two things that you would advise them to do?
That's, oh, man. Man, Erica? I would say, you know, one, it depends on the context, first and foremost. So for me, as a business owner, I don't answer to any man, you know, and a man meaning man or woman. I don't answer to anyone. But I think about it in terms of what am I ethically, what am I okay with? And one of the things that I did, so in earlier in this conversation, you were offering such kind sentiment about, you know, my expectations around being in a doctoral program and such. And I was sitting here, right, because I'm like, okay, this is, you know, for me, the reality is this is a level of marketing. Although I am enjoying our conversation and I value it, it's a level of marketing for my business. And so in that moment, I was deciding, like, do I present myself as this flawless person, or do I tell the truth and own what my reality is, own the position that I was in, good or bad? Like, that decision is left to others, however they choose to decide or judge. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I corrected you, because I've been in those situations where I'm looking at business owners and trying to figure out my own definition of success. And, you know, you see the sexy pictures and the glossy, you know, images and such. But there's a story behind that. There's a real human being with human experience behind that. And I would ask people for their stories, and there were a number of people that wouldn't tell me the truth. Like, they wouldn't tell their truth to me. And I don't want to do that. So when it comes to answer your question about doing difficult things and standing on my morals and my ethics, that's one of those things, is I don't want to be considered, you know, up on a pedestal or, you know, someone that is untouchable. I want people to know that I am human, I am flawed, but I am a work in progress, and I embrace that. And that is part of my ethical stand, is that if I see something that is wrong or inappropriate, I'm gonna correct it to the best of my ability. And that's all you can do at the end of the day. And so for people outside of this, like, who don't own their own businesses, I would say, look at the context, and then you get to decide. You get to decide, is this a situation where I am able to speak up or speak out?
Yeah.
And if not, can you be okay with it? Can you lay down at night and get a good night's sleep knowing that you did speak up or that you didn't speak up?
Good.
And, I learned that years ago, and a lot of it was because I was working at a place that was, there were a lot of bad things happening to people there, and it kept me up at night. I was constantly stressed and worried and afraid someone was going to ask me, what do you know? And so now I recognize, like, if someone ever asks me a question, my response is always, are you sure you want the truth, or do you just want me to tell you nice things, right? Like, you get to decide, people get to decide, and I'll give them what they want, or I am going to decide, I'm going to tell the truth, I'm going to speak up, because I don't want the stress and worry And I personally like a good night's sleep. I don't know about you and your audience, but I like a good night's sleep.
Me too. I do. Yes. Oh, wow. You answered that question really good. And the reason why I asked that is because, you know, my audience is, you know, it's a certain age range, you know, but most of us are, you know, emerging leaders. And one thing I have noticed, even in my personal career, you know, I would say a couple of years ago, I noticed that I was so vocal, but sometimes I was vocal at the wrong time. And I would be considered combative. That's the word that they would use. You're just very combative. And you have to use wisdom. I know that, you know, our generation likes to be vocal and say what they need to say, but you also have to understand if you're wanting to make impact and leave a legacy, you also have to be very careful because your reputation is on the line as well. You never want to be seen in a negative light. However, you cannot change the perception of people and what they think about you, but you just want to always make sure you're handling yourself in a way that is impactful, but also you're walking in integrity and respect. So I thank you for answering that.
You know, Erica, I want to say, though, it's interesting that you frame it that way because while you were identified as being combative because, in fact, you were vocal. I was the, you know, early in my professional career, I was the opposite. I never spoke up. And I would see things that were happening that were, you know, in my opinion, injustices, but I didn't speak up because I was incredibly shy and not confident. And the advice was the same, right? It's Carrie, you have to recognize that there is a time and a place. And for me, it was there's a time and a place to speak up as opposed to a time and a place to not speak up, like for you.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I love that.
And so
I love that.
Yeah. I think it's great advice where no matter where someone falls on the personality spectrum, so to speak, it really is about timing. And one of the things that, you know, I was an only child until I was 13, and then my incredibly beautiful and smart sister came into the world. And so I spent 13 years of my formative life listening. Like, I ever knew was to be quiet and listen. And now that skill has served me so well because, you know, people in different roles that I've had over the years, people have said, Carrie, you're a great leader. And I'll ask them, well, why do you think that? And they're like, because you really listen to the context of what we're talking about. You're a great problem solver, blah, blah, blah. And honestly, I sit and I listen. I listen to what people say. I listen to why they or when they don't say things, who's present when they say things, what they're not saying in front of other people, what is the inflection that they use. It is a skill that I have, and I know I have. It is a God-given skill that I know I have, but it's something that everyone, you know, everyone has and can refine. Your ability to listen.
That's so good. I just made a post about that. It's so funny you said that because I did. And I'm going to say it because it's the perfect time to say it right now. And I'm pretty sure that you will agree. But learning to listen more than you speak is really a skill set, in my opinion, that is undervalued.
Absolutely. 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 Absolutely.
It really is undervalued. We always feel like we have to talk, and we do not listen at all. We don't even allow a person to finish what they're saying. I don't understand, but I just say that to say you're correct, and I agree. Communication is a skill set. That's, I'm starting to really find that out, and a lot of people are not effective in that.
Yeah, yeah, and it's one of those transferable skills that you can be great at it at work, in your personal life, and even at play. You know, I'm talking about listening and from the perspective of work, but honestly, I had a 3-hour lunch with a girlfriend Monday, and she was sharing some personal issues that she was having. And all I did was listen. And in the moments when she asked, like, what do you think or whatever, I had something to offer her, but it wasn't like a full-on presentation. You know, it was, let me listen carefully so that I can be absolutely clear about what it is that I want to say.
Yes.
Because
wow.
I think if you have to say, if the words, the following words come out of your mouth, what I meant to say was, what I'm trying to say is, if you have to use those words, you're not listening, and you surely didn't give enough thought to the words that you are using.
Wow. That's so good what you said. Let that be a challenge for us, you know, going into 2023. We can start now, but let that mm-hmm. be a challenge for us to really focus on leveraging communication truly and
mm-hmm.
authentically.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk mm-hmm. about your business. You know, I know you have some things coming up soon, but before we talk about that, if you could explain, you know, we talked about your business, but with the trajectory, you know, what is your direction this year or going into 2023 that you think is best for your business? Or what do you plan on implementing new or different that you want to talk about?
Yeah, my business has primarily focused on small businesses, and I love that work. I absolutely love it. I'm passionate about it. I want to support other small business and women business owners. From a business perspective, I am looking at corporate work and having conversations with those individuals. And it's really because There's an opportunity there. There's an opportunity mm-hmm. with the onset of, or whether we're in it or it's coming or whatever, the recession, you know, there is the thought that some communities of our nation are rarely impacted by a recession because we're always in a recession. But that's a conversation for another day. With the impending recession, you know, layoffs are coming, and layoffs typically happen at the end of the year, at the end of the calendar year, or at the end of the fiscal year, and a line item in budgets that quickly is cut is learning and development, and I do not believe that should be the case. I am an advocate of let's do our trainings better as opposed to creating more trainings. If a company's ability to strategically design engaging learning experiences for their staff, they're going to be able to retain their staff because the staff is engaged in learning. They're going to retain information. And if they retain information, they're going to accurately apply it, which in essence results in increased productivity and increased revenue generation. So I want to, I am looking at moving the bulk of my time and my work into that sector because it really is an opportunity to reach a larger audience and support employees who, you know, may be having a challenging time in the workplace.
Yes, that is so good. And, you know, I know that I was just having this conversation with someone, and I said, you know, when you talk to people and you tell them, you know, I'm kind of moving away from small businesses, people tend to look at you with eyebrow raised up, like, hmm? because I believe sometimes the perception of corporations and larger companies are negative, right? And everybody has been on, has supported, and don't get me wrong, I don't even like the word small business personally, because I believe a business is a business. Like, I mean, no matter the amount of staff you have or not, you know, a business is a business. Nevertheless, you know, knowing when there is a time that you need to pivot as a business owner and that there are other opportunities, I feel like we should never have to explain, right? And this isn't about what you said, but this is just about anybody in their career that finds another opportunity in the marketplace or when it comes to their business that they can benefit on or will help them to broaden their services and their scope of learning, et cetera. You don't have to feel bad about that. Sky's the limit. That's how I feel. You know, there is room, and I feel like it's needed more in that particular space because there is a lack there, like you said.
Yeah, that's such great advice. That, you know, earlier this year I heard this someone talk. I wish I could give credit, but I unfortunately can't remember who said this. But what they were saying is that when someone asks you to do something and you say yes, it's a simple yes. If you say no to them, it is immediately followed by an explanation as to why your answer is no. And there's also the expectation that you will explain your no, but it's that doesn't exist when there's a yes. And I think it's the same circumstance, right? Like, I'm making this choice in my business for multiple reasons, which really is no one else's business, right? You know, it is what it is. It's going to be what it's going to be. God's going to bless what he's going to bless. And so it is interesting. Like, don't, you know, for your listeners, absolutely, whatever you are choosing to pursue, whether it's your own business, working for someone else, whatever, you don't owe anyone. It is truly your life and your life journey. Others have their own life and their own life journey that they need to be paying attention to.
Yes, that's so good. That was really good. So I know this, next month, we're in September. Time is going by so fast, but I want to talk a little bit about the upcoming and the current hot projects that you have. In October, you'll be hosting Instructional Design for Adult Learners Masterclass. Tell us a little bit about that class.
Yeah, I am so excited. I've been wanting to do this for so long. And, you know, to my point about making the pivot, this has been one way that I can support business owners who are just getting started, or people and corporations who have been at it for a while and they need a new perspective. So, yes, I am offering a 4-day complimentary masterclass. Yeah, masterclass. It's, you know, each session will be about 30 minutes because I know people are busy. And each day I'll offer some insight about adult learning and instructional design that, you know, to get people thinking about doing the work that they do or the work that they are starting to do better. And when I say better, that means using best practices, right? Let's let's get away from using things that are trendy or doing something because we saw someone else do it. Let's be very strategic when you are creating learning experiences for people. So, yes, October 3rd through the 6th, 1:30 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I will be offering a masterclass, and I promise there is absolutely no sales pitch. Like, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. So it is not a ploy. It is truly an opportunity for learning.
Wow. Well, I am so excited about that. And where can we register for that masterclass?
Yeah, on my website, there is a banner, a yellow banner across the top, drcarriegraham.com. And you can register right there on my website for all 4 days. And it includes getting a recording of each session and a couple other little gifts that I want to offer people. I'm over the moon excited to have the opportunity to offer it.
Well, I am so excited. And, guys, make sure that you really take these opportunities, take it seriously. People offer things with no cost, and people don't value it. But we can sometimes be our worst enemy, and we think because it's not a cost associated with it that it's not of value. People are offering, and Dr. Carey has years of experience. She's a professor. She has, just out of our conversation, she has a wide range of knowledge and expertise that she knows about. So I'm going to even register myself because guess what? I'm never too good to not learn or continue to learn. So I know our time is ending soon. I thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule. I know you have your students, and we shouted them out at the beginning of the show that you teach chess. If they want, I'm not sure if that's for the public or if that's private, but I just love the versatility. I had to put that out there. Dr. Carey took time out of her schedule. She has her students where she teaches chess and facilitates it, so we don't want to keep her on the air too long. But thank you so much.
Yes. So it's part of our class assignment today is that they tune in and listen, and we're going to analyze the things that I said. So it's all for learning purposes. But Erica, thank you from all parts of my heart. Thank you so much for inviting me to sit and chat with you and offer some, hopefully again, helpful insights to your audience. Again, please know that I am one who is consistently learning, and even from our conversation today, I've been able to take away some things that are like, yeah, Carey, you need to do better in this area or explore, whatever the case may be. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It is truly an honor to be with you.
I thank you so much, and I know this probably won't be the last conversation, but I thank you so much for being a guest on our show on tonight.
Yes, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
You and all of your audience.
Thank you, and you have a great evening.
Thank you, you too.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you guys so much for tuning into Meaningful Conversations Radio Show. I'm so excited. I hope that you were able to learn and glean everything that you needed to get out of today's episode. Make sure you replay this and listen to it. I know I'm going to do it myself. And I will see you all here next month. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.